Well, I don't remember much about Dad being bishop. I mean, I was just a kid, and he was always the bishop, and I was the bishop's son.
He was so fair and so just with everybody, and he was kind, and he was considerate, and he would listen to you. He wasn't the kind that dictated to you at any time. He'd always let you tell him how you felt about it.
As a youngster, your dad had a lot of temper, a real lot of temper.
That's where I get my life.
He conquered that.
Yeah, he did. He sure did.
He conquered that until he was a top listener. He could get hostile with underneath, but he didn't show it on the outside. Of course, we had our fights as kids at that time, but we overcome that too. He and I never spoke a cross word in the rest of our lives, and that day in our backyard. We didn't always agree. We disagreed on many things. Now, he wouldn't let the when he got to church, you know, I was president of the mutual over there then. He wouldn't let the mutual come in the chapel. So he said, that's too nice for kids to come up there in their overalls, see. And he wouldn't let them in there. First day I was made the bishop, I let the mutual come in. So he gave me heck for it, and I said, that's all right, I didn't squabble when you wouldn't let me in, and now you can't squabble when I let him in.
Well, I remember always having mutual in the recreation hall, but I didn't know why.
That's where recreation belonged. Mutual was, to his mind, was more recreation than
those. He wanted to preserve that chapel, and he kind of looked on it. See, you can't blame him. He built it. It was his life work. See, he put his heart in it. When they tore it down, it broke.
He just wanted to keep it nice.
He did.
But
and
the stupidest thing was
that plaque they had there. I could have sold that to the guys that bought our church down here. But that Roberts guy, the bishop, went up there and took the eyes up to look at it. They took that out of there. I could have took it out of there in 2 days. And the old Bishop Roberts told them that it would take $4,000 to take that plaque out. I said, I can go up there and take that plaque out with and cut out one row of brick and put a stud across to hold the roof up there and tear that out, and it was put in 4 pieces. All you had to do was take a carb run and saw and cut the steel out, just lift them out in sections. And I took some ministers up to buy our church, going to give $800 for it. And when I got up there, they started knocking down, pushing the hole.
As a bishop, he was a great peacemaker. I remember I was called to work in the Sunday school first when I went over there to teach Sunday school. Had great luck with it. We just got along swell, and then I quit for a while, and he came and asked me to be a counselor in the primary to a certain woman that I didn't know very well, you know. And I said, well, I'd try it. I'd loved the Sunday school class. I really had. I had great success with them. We started out with a few kids and ended up with 46 kids in that Sunday school class. So he wanted me to be a counselor this one, and I said, all right, I'd try it, you know. I'd never done anything like that before, I just taught. And I couldn't stand her after I got started with her. She was just so unkind and impatient with the little children, you know. And she'd just yell at them and just raise the dickens if they made the least little noise, and I just couldn't stand it. And he knew I was irritated with her. He could see that, but we didn't say much about it. And I went on quite a while. One time, she had the whole recreation hall set up for a little primary party, and little things all around the floor, different kind of games. And a little bit of kid, about 4 or 5 years old, no more than 5 at the most, went over to look at one of these things and touched it, and it made her mad, and she went over and she spatted that kid so hard she knocked him over and he bumped his head on that thing. Well, I could have just died, because that's no way to treat kids in church, you know, prejudice them against them and everything. And after that, I went to him and I said, I'm sorry, Abe, but I got to get out of this. And he says, I know you have. I've seen it coming. So he took me out and put me in a job teaching the mutual, you know. And then from then on, I went on. It's really exciting that. He's always was fair, and he'd hear both sides of the story, and he'd get things fixed up so that I really couldn't be resentful. I I felt guilty if I didn't resemble her anymore, because he could see her side of it too. He could see that she was just a different temperament than that. And soon after that, he gently eased her out and got another primary president, you know, and different things like that. But he could do it, and he had a knack of doing it so that nobody felt bad or was angry at him. You know, they knew that he was doing what was the best thing for them all. And he gave me many wonderful, wonderful blessings when I was sick and that. He was really good.
Your dad and I grew up almost as twins. We always talked to each other, we consulted each other. We'd buy a car lover, we wouldn't buy it unless we both had our heads together on it. We worked together just as good brothers should.
We sure did.
It takes some learning.
Listening to.
Well, remember, they fought once, but they made up their mind not to.
Yeah, they lived by it, that's good.
They stayed with their resolve.
Earl used to tease us a great deal, but we took that out of him one day when he was, Dad set us up in a little chicken business, A and I. Earl had a date, he'd go and get our money and spend it on his girl. One night he was going out on this, and he went to the cupboard, he asked, he got big mother for a couple of bucks, the best she had. We was having our struggles to live in. Two family marriages don't work as well as lots of people think, but they can be made to work. And he went to our money barrel and took out about $4 or $5. They jumped him. Pushed day off, and they asked, come on, help me. So the two of us got at him, and before he got through, we got the money away from him, and his blue serge suit was all mussed up, and he went out of the door mad as heck, but we got our money back.
Well, what chicken business was this?
Well,
I've never heard
just,
of that.
Dad just set us up as a couple of kids and bought us a couple of dozen chickens. Todd wanted us to learn how to feed them and sell the eggs and make enough money off of them and see that they prospered. And we never got in any big deals or anything like that. We had about 24 hens and a couple of roosters, and we ran it and fed and begged for it. That started to let us learn how to handle our own selves.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, I had chickens when I was a kid. Dad let me have them. And he said, you know, well, it's a good experience, a lot of work.
Yeah.
But he never mentioned a thing about him having chickens.
Well, he didn't get so much into all the chickens after he went to school and a year ahead of me at Weaver. And I took over the chicken business, and then we decided after 2 years we'd had enough chicken business, and so we sold out the chicken business. But we made it pay its way. Paid for themselves. We never went in debt, bought the grain. Earl had always tried to hog a couple of bucks. We prevented him whenever we could, and that one night we really did.
Hmm. Well, what else do you remember about their grandfather? What else do you remember about him?
He was a hard worker. He was a brilliant man. He really was a deep thinker. And the weirdest thing about him was he conquered that violent temper. He really had a real go-getter temper when he was young. He could fly off like a whistle. But he conquered that. Until now, when he got into manhood, he could sit and listen. He learned to be a listener. And that's a hard job. And he learned to do that. I don't know a person that I ever knew that listen as well as your dad could, without interfering, and then make his own decision after he made his decision, regardless of what the guy told him or not. If he thought he was wrong, he made the decision. If he thought he was right, he'd go with it. But he would do it fair and square, never back up an inch. When he ran in politics, he wouldn't back down for anything.
The first I can remember of him, mostly, when I was about 10 years old, we moved up on 22nd Street, up the first house east of the Harris home. You know what that is?
Yeah, you live there?
Our whole family moved in there.
The first house east of it.
Right next to it. Next door to them.
And all that.
And we had 10 kids. And they had a big family. And there was a chum for everybody. And Mabel was a year older than I. And Irene was a year older than my sister Florence. So naturally, I chummed with Mabel and Florence chummed with Irene, you know. And then Ray and Wilfred grew up together, were chums together. And well, we had older girls and they had older boys. But they always were so friendly with every one of us. It was just wonderful. And I used to go over there when I was a kid. We were poor as church mice, but the Harrises had money. And they had a nice home, much nicer home than ours and everything, you know. And we used to go over there, and they were so darn good to us all the time. Mr. Harris was really a pleasant, charming, nice man. He was just, he just had a sweet way with kids, you know. Just really sweet way with them. We all just worshiped him. We thought he was just the nicest darn guy. And Mabel's mother, she wasn't nearly so talkative. She was more quiet, but she was all right. She was conscious and that, but she just never took the time to sit down and get really acquainted with her. But she was busy, of course, working all the time. But we all had so much fun together. And they had a piano, and we hadn't had anything like that for years since I came home. The family has a seventh kid. And they used to play that piano all the time. Leo and Lawrence used to play that piano. And we, all the little kids in March, we'd line up and have a parade and march into this piano, you know, go all through the place. And they had an upstairs, which we didn't have or anything like that. It was such fun to go up those stairs and in those little rooms up there and everything. And we'd go out on picnics together, the two families. Of course, my mother didn't have a husband. It was just a widow woman with a bunch of children. But they'd go out and we'd go on picnics together. We'd go up the canyon and have take meals and all the gang of us go up there and have so much fun and everything. And I just grew up knowing Mabel. And